prepared for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair heaven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. I'm longing to go to fair heaven, to be with the happy and free, to spend the long ages in singing. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing up there by the beautiful sea. Sweet chords from their gold harps are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair heaven, a rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
All right, good evening, everyone. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I always enjoy Wednesday night services. Now that all the kids are up here, it looks like we have a full church, so it's a blessing. Don't stand yet, but turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Just by way of illustration, or introduction, I should say, how many of you are easily prone to distractions? A few of you? Okay. So some of you are prone to distractions. I'm going to go ahead and point out my wife. She is very easily prone to distractions, but I'm going to tell you a little story just to get us going here. I don't like going to Walmart. Walmart is not my happy place, but we have to go to Walmart. So when we go to Walmart, I basically have my list consisting of two items, and she has her scroll that she has to find. So when I go to Walmart, I go to point A to point B and back to point A, which is the car. So she goes from point A through Z twice, hitting everything in between, because some people are easily distracted. Now tonight, I want to talk to you about three things out of Matthew chapter 6 that could be considered distractions. Distractions in our Christian life that aren't good distractions. Some distractions are okay. Some things are shiny, and we'd like to pick them up and play with them. But some distractions are not good. They're not profitable. And so in Matthew chapter 6, I just want to bring up a couple of them. Let's start reading in verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. The Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Title of tonight's sermon is Three Common Distractions for Any Believer. Brother Alder, will you open us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I came across this passage a little while ago. There's something that a pastor does. It's 12 weeks of the most anguishing training I've ever been through. It's called premarital counseling. So, pastor, I'm just kidding. It's not that bad. Some of it is, but not all of it. So, we were going through premarital counseling, obviously, myself and my wife. And we made it through. What a blessing. So, in that packet, he gives us two different packets. One is for us to discuss, and one is private. We can't talk to each other about it. And in that private one, he wanted us to pick out one piece of scripture that I think that would be beneficial to her life, and she picks one beneficial to mine. So being the spiritual man that I am, I picked one out of 1 Samuel, talking about how Hannah, how she poured her heart out to the Lord in the second chapter of 1 Samuel. I really enjoyed that because it just touched my heart how a woman would just pour her heart out unto God. It was a blessing to me. She picks out Matthew chapter 6 and says, he worries too much. There was the practical training for premarital counseling. But in Matthew chapter 6, that's the last one we're going to talk about tonight is worry. The first one I want to talk to you about is found in the first 18 verses or so of Matthew chapter 6. And that is that of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. So in Matthew chapter 6, this is Jesus speaking, of course, on the Sermon on the Mount. And he starts in chapter 5, keeps going through here. And then chapter 6, verse 1 says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. So that's kind of the main thought here through the first 17 or 18 verses or so about how Jesus is saying, don't be one who claims to be something that you're not. Don't be one who, the first example he gives here is giving of alms. Jesus says, don't be one who gives just to be seen of men. Don't be one who says, you know, if you have your tithe check in your pocket, don't be like, hey, check this out. I have my tithe check. I'm the man. Don't be that person. Don't be one who gives their alms just to be seen. The second one is prayer. Be it just a thought that I had here. Be a prayer warrior of God that does not need to show it to others. You know, if you're confident in your ability, you shouldn't have to flaunt it. You know, if you're the best at your job, you shouldn't have to say, I'm the best because I beat you. You shouldn't have to be like that. The best is recognized as the best. Prayer is important to God because Jesus shows that we are to come to God reverently and humbly. He gives us the example of what we refer to sometimes as the Lord's Prayer in verse number 9. And he goes on through verse 15. We picked up in verse 16. It says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The third one that Christ talks about here, the third example of hypocrisy is that of fasting. Jesus said it is good to fast, but do it for God and yourself, not for others. So in the first 18 verses or so, we see that of hypocrisy. The second one is that of materialism. Materialism. I think we're all familiar with materialism on a Wednesday night. It's accruing wealth just for the sake of doing it. Just for the sake of saying that I have more stuff than you, or that I have money to spend and I want to spend it on this. Personally, I don't have that problem. Some of you may. I don't. So I don't think that'll affect a lot of us here tonight. But I kind of want to touch on it anyway because the Lord Jesus Christ thought it was worthy of mentioning, so I think I should go ahead and mention it. Verse 19, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your heart is, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus says not to be focused on earthly things, but to focus our attention on heavenly things. So let's catch up here. The first part is about hypocrisy. It's about not being something that you're not. Yeah, something like that. It's about not trying to be someone that you're not. Hypocrisy is something that's kind of prevalent in our day and time. You see, I hear people all the time say, I don't want to go to church because of this one person who did something to me 20 years ago. And because of that, I'm not going to come to your church. I'm not going to hear the gospel because I don't want to hear what this preacher told me. You know, that happens a lot, doesn't it? Has that ever happened to you? It happens to me quite often. Hypocrisy is important because we need to realize that it's an important issue. It's something that, as Bible-believing Christians, shouldn't be in our lives. Now, I know we're human. We're going to mess up. We're going to do things that we wish we hadn't have done. But at the same time, we also need to realize that our goal in life is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we keep that in mind, we shouldn't have to worry about hypocrisy. The second one's materialism. He says, okay, now that I've talked about you not waving your money around and being proud about it, not being a hypocrite, now we need to worry about materialism. The Lord Jesus Christ says, lay not your treasure upon earth. Don't be so focused upon what happens here in this life. That's a blessing to those of us who don't have money to throw around. This isn't all there is. So, smile, it's okay. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. In verse number 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I've always kind of read that as an emphatic statement. I don't really think it's meant to be like, you know, don't serve God and mammon. I think it's meant to be like, do not serve God and mammon. I kind of think that's how the Lord wanted that to be said. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been, period, do not serve God and mammon, period. I think that's kind of important. Okay, so he says, do not be a hypocrite over here. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be materialistic. And then he finishes off with, do not serve God and mammon. Am I right or am I wrong here? He says, do not serve God and mammon. So then he kind of shifts gears in verse 25. Verse 25, and that's where we're going to pick up and be probably for the rest of the evening. And that is the subject of worry. Worry. You know, a lot of people feel like they have sufficient need to worry. Does that make sense? They feel like there's something in their life so pressing that they just have to worry about it all the time. They just have to worry about this or that. Jesus gives us a list of things that we often worry about. And we read through it here. Food, clothes, drink, health. All those things are important because if we're dead, we're not going to be much, you know, we're not going to help the Lord a whole lot. So he says, do not be too concerned about these things. But at the same time, he lists these things that we're worried about, but he also lists two examples of things that don't worry about that. And I'll show you what I mean here in a minute. In verse number 26, the Bible says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? So the first example the Lord Jesus Christ gives is that of birds. I'm not much of a bird watcher. It's not really my thing. I don't like to watch birds. When we were in college in Oklahoma City, the nastiest little birds were there. Brother Kirby knows what I mean. These little birds were so gross. They were in the Walmart parking lot, and they would attack people. They were awful. These little black birds, and they had little beady eyes, and they just looked creepy. So ever since then, I don't really care for birds a whole lot. It's a blessing to come back to Missouri where they don't attack you. That's a blessing. But it's just not what I do. But Jesus here, he thinks it's important to mention birds. So I looked at birds a little bit, just a little. So birds, Jesus says, they don't work, obviously. They don't work. They don't have a job. They don't do a whole lot other than fly around and hatch eggs. But But the Lord realized that. He knew that, did he not? When he mentioned this, he knew that we might be able to relate. You and I have jobs. Praise the Lord for that. We have jobs. We're able to support our families. We're able to have a place to live. And Jesus says, these birds don't do anything. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather, but they're still fed. We still see birds flying around. For you ladies, you may have been attacked by a bird. Maybe in your hair or something, I don't know. You know they're there. But Jesus says, you know, you work. You sow, you reap, you gather. You try to provide for your family, and they don't. But they're all fed. They're all fed. Just by taking a look around here, I'd say we're all fed. We're all fed. We are. So I'm going to come back to this here in a little bit, but if he can take care of the birds, why can't he take care of us? Why do we worry so much about the Lord Jesus Christ taking care of us? I'll come back to that here in a few minutes. The second example the Lord gives is that of flowers. Again, I'm not into flowers. I don't like, well, I shouldn't say I don't like flowers, but I'm just not into them. Let's just go ahead and read the verses here. I think it's better the way the Lord said it than any way I could say it. Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So the second example the Lord gives is that of flowers. It's that of flowers. Flowers don't have jobs. Yes, I'm going there again. They don't have jobs. They don't toil. They don't do anything that we do. But it looks to me like the grass is growing out there, unfortunately for you who have to mow this week. It's growing out there. It's growing abundantly. Because the Lord is supplying rain. He's supplying everything that the grass and the flowers need to grow. So why do you and I take thought of maybe being clothed, having food, having drink? Same thought that he had with the birds. Exact same thought. Why do we, as God's children, worry when birds and grass are out there just growing just like we are? Why do we do that? Well, there's a lot of reasons. I think the answer probably goes back to verse 24 or so, with that statement, you cannot serve God and mammon. You know, worry, there's an okay time to worry. I wouldn't say it's a good time, but there are times in life that make us worry, aren't there? There are probably some things in your life that you might be worried about. You might be anxious or apprehensive. Whatever synonym you want to put in there, it's worry. There are things that make us worry because we're human. We have feelings. But there are things we don't need to worry about. And that's kind of what I want to focus on here tonight. There are things we don't need to worry about. The Lord Jesus Christ just said that he would supply our food, our drink, our clothing, all the things that are essential for life. He said he would supply them. And we worry about frivolous things. We worry about things that ultimately don't matter that much. Why is that? Verse 22, because you will build up your treasure. This is just me paraphrasing. This isn't the Bible. You will accrue treasure where your heart is. Where your heart is, that's where you're going to build your treasure. If your heart is on this earth, you're going to want to build wealth. You're going to want to have cars and houses and all kinds of stuff. You're going to want to build and keep building. But if you serve God, chances are you're not as concerned about that. I'm not saying it's wrong to have money, because it's not. The Lord blesses people. But it is wrong to want to have money for the wrong reasons. It's wrong to worry about things that Jesus said that he would provide for. Jesus compares flowers to our inability to provide clothing for ourselves. You know, Jesus also said that these flowers are more beautiful than Solomon at the height of his glory. Obviously, you and I weren't there when Solomon was at the height of his glory. That was a long time ago. But the Bible says that people from all around would come to visit Solomon. They were amazed by Solomon. They were amazed by his wealth, by his houses, by his servants. Basically, everything that Solomon had, people were amazed at. They would come from all around, and they would say, "Wow, look at what Solomon's built. That's pretty awesome. Look at the temple that he built." There's so many things that about Solomon that people admired. But Jesus says, that flower out there, that's more beautiful than Solomon at his height. I wonder why that is. I wonder why the Lord Jesus Christ said that that flower is more beautiful than Solomon at the height of his glory. I was thinking about that today, and I was thinking about different reasons, and basically I boiled it down to one. Just one reason. And that was because that flower cannot depend on itself. There's no possible way that that flower can say, "I'm going to bloom into two more flowers. I'm going to bloom into five flowers." Or that bird, it's probably not thinking to itself, "I'm going to build the biggest nest in America." Probably not thinking that. But do you think it's possible that Solomon thought that? Do you think it's possible that Solomon as a man thought, "I'm going to build the biggest house this country's ever seen"? You know, there was a time when Solomon was right with the Lord, obviously. He was the wisest man that ever lived. Pretty smart guy. But he also got some serious mistakes going on, too. I'm saying here tonight that it's possible that the flowers and the birds are maybe more spiritual than you and I are sometimes. Maybe it's possible that we depend more on ourselves than we do on the Lord. I can't speak for you, but I can definitely speak for myself. Ever since my wife so bluntly pointed out this passage of Scripture to me, I started, you know, I look over it every so often. And I think, am I doing that? Am I being too dependent on myself? Where's my heart at? Because where my heart is, that's where my treasure's going to be. If I think, you know, I want the newest car, and I want the most expensive car that I can get. Not the best idea for me, because I'm a guy. But I might peel out and do that kind of thing and waste a bunch of money on gas. Worry is something that can be a serious distraction in a Christian's life. Because when we turn our attention on ourselves more than on God, that's when we have problems. What I want to focus on for the rest of the evening is why we shouldn't worry. Why we shouldn't worry. My intention here tonight hasn't been to make you think that you're not spiritual enough, because I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me. But I just want to bring out a couple of reasons why we don't have a need to worry. Why it doesn't matter, or why some things don't matter. The first one is this. God promised that He would take care of us. God promised He would take care of us. If God can take care of your health and your body, why can't He provide for you? I've heard pastors say this before, and it's a great point. If you trust Him with your eternal soul, why don't you trust Him with things on this earth? He promised He would take care of us. You all don't look too excited about that. I thought it was exciting. God promised He'd take care of us. Woo! Okay, that's great. God promised He'd take care of us. God said, "Steve Scott, I'm going to take care of you." Why? Because you're awesome? Well, maybe. Because you're God's child. God's child. I'm not going to list all of your names because that would take a while. But God promised He'd take care of us. No, God promised He'd take care of us, no matter what. Because we can't lose our salvation. It's not possible. Not possible. For God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Yep. The second reason why we shouldn't worry is God knows what we need. God knows what we need. Have you not found that true in your life, that God knows exactly what you need? He knows exactly what you need when you need it.
That's right.
And how you need it. And who it is that's supposed to give it to you. He knows all that stuff before we even know that there's a problem. Because sometimes we're oblivious like that. God knows exactly what we need. Our Heavenly Father knows well what we need and how much of it. He made us. He made us. We could go back to Genesis chapter 3, but I don't think we need to tonight, where God created man, and even after man fell, when Adam sinned, God still knew exactly what he needed. Number 3, if we seek God first, these things will follow. If we seek God first, these things will follow. Well, what things? What things are we talking about here? Food, drink, clothing, health, all those things will follow. But you have to do something first. You have to seek God. You have to seek God. And the most important thing about seeking God is getting saved. Salvation. I'm pretty sure everyone here is saved tonight. But I think it's important that this step is listed, mainly because of the hypocrisy point back in point 1. Salvation is the most important point in seeking God. Because even though we are made to worship Him, we don't always do that. We don't always think, I want to serve God instead of myself. But to seek God, you must first be saved. And then to seek God, you have to do it daily. It's a decision. It's not a spontaneous decision. Sometimes I like spontaneous decisions. Sometimes I like ice cream. I want to go eat ice cream. That's not... Seeking God is not a spontaneous thing. It's not where you wake up in the morning and say, oh, I think I'm going to serve God today. That's good, but it has to be a decision. Something that will not waver. Something that won't be wishy-washy. Sometimes I like to eat barbecue. Sometimes I don't. Well, that's not true. I always like barbecue. Just like that decision that I like barbecue, we need to seek God, though not on the same level. We have to seek God. If we're going to get all these things that I've talked about, if we're going to have everything that we need, if we're going to be dependent upon God, it has to be a decision. I know people nowadays don't like to make decisions. Decision making isn't very fun sometimes. It stinks being an adult. It's terrible. Have to make decisions, and we have to stick with them too. What is this? No. Decisions are good sometimes. It's good to finally make a decision, get a job. Although with me, my dad made me, but, you know. Decision-making is a good thing. And what better decision, if you haven't made a decision in your life, your first decision should be that of following the Lord. Should be seeking Him. This past week, most of you know my family is in Okinawa, Japan. And my oldest sister, Savannah, she made a decision to follow the Lord. She made a decision to seek God with whatever He wanted for her life. Amen. That's the kind of decision that I'm talking about. You say, well, I'm in my mid-40s. So what? Amen. Make a decision to follow God. Amen. You're a teenager? Great. Make your decision to follow God. You're a young adult? Great. Make your decision to follow God. I never thought I'd be called to preach, but here I am. Scared to death to preach in front of all of you. We have to make a decision. It's important. You also need to make a decision not to be a hypocrite. Not to be materialistic. And not to worry. Like I said, there are some things we need to worry about. A lot of the things we don't. We don't need to worry about. Last point is this. If we seek God first, these things will follow. And the best thing is this. That also includes tomorrow's problems. Not just today, not just yesterday, but tomorrow's problems. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If we choose to seek God before these things, He will bless us and provide beyond measure. He will even give us the strength today for the problems tomorrow. Amen. It's pretty amazing when you serve a God who can give you strength today for problems tomorrow that you don't even know about. Sometimes it's scary to look at tomorrow and say, I don't know what could happen. So that's scary if you think about it for too long. But when you start thinking about it too long and you start to worry, just remember, He knows. He knows about tomorrow. He knows that you may get a flat tire tomorrow. Is that irritating? Yes, extremely. I hate flat tires. Hate it. But He knows, and He'll give you the patience for it. Friend, you may lose your job tomorrow, but He knows. He'll give you the strength for it. You know, it's kind of easy for me to preach if I'm not thinking about it and just to tell you these things. But when I was studying today, this really hit me. It really hit me that I don't need to worry about some stuff. I don't. I'm not saying be a carefree goofball. I'm saying you don't need to worry about some stuff. There are some things that I have no control over. I don't have control over my health. Well, to a certain extent. I could go to the gym more, but that's okay. There's some things you don't need to worry about. There's some things that it's pointless. But God said He would look after you. Amen. God said, you know what? Not only am I going to look after you, not only am I going to provide for you if you seek for me, if you seek to find me, if you try your best to find me, not only will I make myself known to you, but I will give you strength for tomorrow. Amen. It's pretty good stuff. You know, we talked about a lot tonight. We did. We talked about a lot of stuff. It's interesting to me that in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, He brought up these three things. He brought up that of hypocrisy. He brought up that of materialism. And He brought up worry. I think that's interesting because, you know, back then, there weren't that many who had to worry about becoming materialistic. There weren't too many of them. Jesus mainly hung out with the poor people. Not normally do you see Jesus with the richer, higher class. Didn't really happen that much. But He tells the common people, if I could say that, the people who don't have a lot of money, people who maybe don't have as much to worry about, humanly speaking. He tells them, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be materialistic. Don't worry. He says that to people who, like I said, they, humanly speaking, probably don't have a whole lot to worry about. I mean, they're poor. They follow Jesus around, and I don't know, maybe they quit their job, or that is something to worry about, but you know, He tells this to people who maybe think they don't need to hear it. It's possible. Maybe there's some people who did need to hear it. But I think out of this passage of Scripture, I think maybe all of us can take away something tonight. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm preaching, because that'd be ridiculous. I'm saying it because the Bible says, seek God first, and you don't have to worry about that other stuff. I wonder, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I don't want to know, but I wonder how many of us tonight can say, I'm wholeheartedly seeking God. Wholeheartedly. Not holding anything back. I'm willing to lose my job. I'm willing to lose everything. That's a little difficult for us as Americans to hear, isn't it? We don't have to worry about a whole lot of persecution. Maybe from family, maybe from coworkers. Not really anything like they faced. They faced, Jesus Christ was crucified. Nothing really we have to deal with today. I think it's important for us to realize this idea of seeking God. It's important. We just came out of that series the pastor preached on the pursuit of God. It was a blessing. It was good. But I wonder how many of us still here tonight need to make a decision. Seeking God. Maybe determining in your heart and in your mind and in your body that I'm not going to worry. There's some things only God can control, and I accept that. I'm not going to be materialistic. I'm going to handle my money wisely. Jesus went on to talk about the servants with talents. I think we're all familiar with that. He gave one servant one talent, one servant two talents, one servant five. And then he came back, and then the boss came back and wanted to know what had been done with their talents, what's been done with their money. Two of them did well. One of them not so much. That's not what I want to focus on here tonight. But which one of those are you? Are you someone who God has given talents to and you're using it? Or are you one who's just not? Seeking God is easily one of the most important decisions you could ever make. It's important. It really is. Because seeking God will determine everything else. Everything else. You want to buy a house. Good. That's a good thing. You don't want to live under a box in the overpass over here. That's good. Are you seeking God for that house? I would love to go out and buy the newest truck available. Don't think that's what God has for me, though. I'll stick with my beat-up Civic. That's fine. Are you worrying about things that you don't need to worry about? Are you serving God, or are you serving mammon? Let's pray.